You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We want to obviously reach out to everybody that doesn't have power, you know, like going through that, how long it's going to be. PSEG, I know in Long Island, everybody's just up in arms about it's just an abomination of a job they've been doing. Not really just, look, no one was prepared for this. Let's be honest.
This was a sneaky storm, man.
And I know in Jersey, right? I was in Jersey all week. And I know in Jersey, it was something, it was really scary. Like we all know this thing happened. It happened quick. It was a hit it and quit it in our area, and a lot of people without power or even just your TV, internet, just your basic functions. And we're all, so many of us, working from home.
Right.
So it just makes it that much more difficult that we can't work from home. And so we're dealing with the pandemic and now dealing with the power outage during the pandemic. Obviously, a lot of us are going through a lot of frustration, anxiety. And so we just want to, you know, we're all dealing with it. You are, Bart, at your house. I am at mine. Yeah. We've been out for a couple of days. We don't expect to be back for another couple of days from what we're being told. So it's been warm at night. We know it. Yeah. We're all going through it together. So just try your best to stay cool. That's why we're trying to laugh through this thing. Have some fun. Tell some jokes. Just, you know, rip on each other. Rip on other people. Just try to get a little break from the reality that is the challenges that week that they keep throwing at us in 2020.
Yeah,
one after another.
Because when I get home, I'm going to have a G.I. Joe stuck up my butt because my son just like, you know, sitting there.
My butt.
You wake up, man, you got toys in your head because now you're trying to entertain your kids. So now you got to go old school. You got no internet. You got no YouTube. You got no TV.
Playing Uno till 11 o'clock at night in the dark with a flashlight.
and you're pulling out the old toys, man. So you got to do the old toy. You wake up, your son got his, he got his lightsaber in the bed with us. I dusted off a DVD. DVD player. The kids was like, what the hell is that, Dad? I said, you know, back in the day before internet and before, you know, streaming, like we used to have this thing and you took this thing that it looks like a disc and it sometimes, you know, no, son, that's not a coaster. Hand me that right there. That's actually a bootleg from the barber shop. You know what I mean? It don't have no pictures on it because it was written in Sharpie. You know, go ahead and break.
Somebody burned it.
Yeah, go ahead and break. Yeah, this is a burnt one. Go ahead and give me that. What does that say? We watched Hercules yesterday. You know, it was released in 2014. Like, I know back in the day, son, before you were born, you know, 2014, we used DVDs. I felt like I was describing an A-track. I'm like, listen, we gonna watch the movie. Listen.
You want to? I'll blow your mind. I'll blow your mind. My wife and I will never be able to watch our wedding video ever because it was on VHS.
Hey,
we open this thing up and we look at it and we're like, what are we supposed to do with this now? Hey, I know they have converters and stuff, but it's still, the quality's not going to be any damn good.
You gonna take it? Yeah, man, bro. Like, and it's weird because I finished like, and it was right before like 4K and stuff happened. So they're watching old clips of me like, I can't see your eyes, Daddy. Like, shut up. I ain't got no visor on. Like, no.
Watching you play in college, it's like, what?
So it's all blocky and grainy. So, like, you know, the thing is, like, without internet, you can't go on to the movies. So I try to pull out the iPad, right? Because I'm like, okay, well, at least I got cellular service. But the cellular service, because everybody's on it, is super slow.
It is
so you
bad.
Can't watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I never burnt the movies on my iPad.
Right.
But, you know, because we always had Wi-Fi and I can just hit it and it comes right on.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, when I promise you, we were all in one bed watching a DVD
on a laptop.
On Hercules. I hooked it up to the TV because we got a generator.
So
got the TV going. But so we're able to get the TV on. We're watching old school DVDs. And my daughter's like, why does it look like that? I said, because it came from a damn barbershop. This was hot.
Everybody
was hot when I got it.
Just again, we're all dealing with it.
FDA, don't come find me, man. I'm not paying $250,000.
No, the FDA won't mind.
It's past statute of limitations.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
But the Food and Drug Administration.
Who's the people? Not the FDA. Hey, first of all, send me some food over. But what's those people like? When it comes on and it's like green and it says if you're in possession of this, blah blah blah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Oh, we're part of the guild now too.
Yeah, that's just let it go. Just let it go.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a fine.
Just want to let that.
I'm going to have FedEx let me tell you that my booth.
Barton Hahn, while we're still in the air, is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. All that. Just delete all that. Just never mind.
Yeah, can we dump that?
We're going to just dump all that.
Damn, we're live.
So quickly, before we get the blitz of prevent, some Yankee news. As you know, roster's got to get down to, what is it? Is it 28? So... They option three players to their alternate site, which is, again, like unfit to play for the NHL, and then players being sent to an alternate site. Again, is there a safe word? Like that, it's a very bizarre thing.
Yeah.
Where they're sending me, Mom, Dad, I'm being sent to an alternate site.
Pineapples!
So, Tyro Estrada, who the kid can hit, no question. He's one. Nick Nelson, who, like Anthony said, was basically the sacrificial lamb yesterday. He has also been sent. Miguel Andujar.
I don't like that one.
That's a tough one.
I don't like that one, man.
You know?
Like I told you, underappreciated.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's the Yankee news right there. But right now, because there's so much else going on in the world of sports, let's do Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
Anthony, quick on the trigger as always. All right, so speaking of the Yankees, yesterday we saw the Yankees and Phillies play a doubleheader, and it was a split. Fine. They had the new doubleheader format, of course, so the games are only seven innings. So it makes the game move quicker and puts a lot more pressure on the offense if you're giving up the lead early and you realize it gets late early in seven-inning games, as Yogi would say, or he might want to say that. So in the first game, the Yankees went down 11-3. You'd figure, all right, this game's over. But they actually closed it to 11-7 in the seventh. Could have done more damage, didn't. But still, you could argue, well, if there are two more innings, maybe the Yankees would have made a comeback. Anyways, this made it interesting, in my opinion. Your opinion, Blitz or Prevent, you like the quicker format for these doubleheaders.
I love that, right? Because you don't want to put too much stress, and you usually have a split squad anyway when you have these two games. This allows you maybe to let a guy DH or let somebody come in and maybe play and then, you know, substitute them, you know, later in the game. You get off to a fast start and you don't need them. But it makes the game exciting. I think it's going to appeal more to the younger fans. And now instead of just watching one, you may say, you know what, it's just 2 7-inning games. I'll watch both of them. You know what I mean? Because it gets more entertaining that way. This could be something. You know what I mean? Because it puts a lot of pressure on the offense to get on the board early. And really, you know, it allows you, especially if you got a good starter, to maybe go in and you don't even have to, you know, go into your bullpen. So now you can have a bullpen game. So it gives you a lot of options, you know, when you go that way. Because now you can do, you know, some creative ways with your lineup.
Absolutely. To me, it was interesting. But it does allow a fan to say, boy, you give me two more innings, that bullpen, we might have been able to close, we might have got a win. Now, for the Yankees, you know, that was one of those games where you figured you'd won seven in a row. You're going to lose. You're not going to win every game. And they end up getting the second one in a similar fashion. You get the two runs late in the seventh, and now all of a sudden, there you go. Boom, game's over. So now the Phillies had one chance, basically, to come back. So, interesting. Definitely interesting format that we'll continue to see. Meanwhile, in the bubble, NBA. Did you see on Tuesday Carmelo Anthony hit a clutch three late? Yes, three to the dome. The Blazers beat the Rockets. So I tweeted this, that Melo's become what many of us knew he could become later in his career. Mm-hmm. A supremely talented, confident scoring talent without the pressure to carry a team. He's found Olympics Melo in the NBA, which we've been waiting for, and I think it's awesome. Three games so far in the bubble, he's averaging 16 points a game, 7 rebounds in 36 minutes. He's shooting 45% from the field, and he's, by the way, 7 of 14 from downtown. That's 50%.
Yeah.
So Blitz of Prevent, you'll take this version of Melo back on the Knicks. at 36 years old.
Yes, I will. But the problem is I don't think he'll get out. I think he's getting some synergy. And now you see Nurkic's back. And now you see that they have size as well. And Nurkic is like a unicorn as well. You heard Popovich talk
such
about
a great passer.
You know, he's such a great passer. And he just works. Now they're complete. And Melo can be one
and
of
Lillard's
those guys.
Lillard's fantastic, right? McCollum.
Just think, we're in an era now when it's twosomes. It's not so many threesomes. Mm-hmm. When you think about what you have in CJ and Dame, you have two all-stars at the most pivotal positions. You got guys that can handle the rock, and I'll put those two up against anybody. Even if people laughed at Isaiah when he said that the Blazers were the most dangerous team if they get in the playoffs and greatest threat
100%
to LeBron. Because what happens is, as great as LeBron is, they don't have great guard play. So you talk about the advantage that the Lakers have over Portland. Portland has that same advantage when you think that we're going to be dependent on JR, and we're going to be dependent because they don't have Brad.
Deion Waiters has actually played really well.
Right,
but you're right about the guard play.
Right.
Is something to keep an eye on. Already, like, it's there, and it's just the Lakers to me are about obviously AD and LeBron, who, by the way, is it a groin issue? He's not going to play today, which, for me, they locked it up. There's no reason for them to really have to play him that much, so keep an eye on that. Hey, by the way, Grizzlies haven't won a game yet. They're 0-4. The Blazers are right there now. They're in play to be one of the – now, they could be a playoff team.
That 9-8 playing game, right?
Yeah.
That 9-8
they are right there. Now, again, the Spurs are still right there as well.
They're always lurking. The Spurs
are Pelicans are still hanging around because the Grizzlies can't close the deal. There's going to be some play-ins now.
They have the hardest schedule. Like, who did they piss off? How does the Pelicans have the easiest schedule?
Well, no. It was what was ahead. It was your next eight games, Bart. That's how they did it.
That's crazy.
It was your next eight games.
It just so happened that the NBA guys, the Pelicans, they were like, all right, let's give Zion the easy games at the end because we know he's going to miss it.
No, it's your next eight games.
The Pelicans have the easiest. The Grizzlies have the hardest.
Well, Zion doesn't play much anyway.
People disrespect Ja Morant and his greatness.
I got to get your take on this story. This isn't a new story, but it's an interesting story. Ben Affleck, remember Gone Girl, that movie?
Yeah.
So he shut down production of that movie for like a week. Now, David Fincher is the director, and he had just been talking about this recently. And he said that Affleck, we do have the sound.
Ooh. It's a bonus about being able to look at each other.
There it is right there. I'm sorry. We actually have the sound. See, here's David Fincher, this is the director, right? Of the movie why things had to shut down.
There's a moment described at the end of this scene where Nick Dunn has to reach into his duffel bag or his backpack and get out a baseball cap that he's bought at the airport, and he puts it on and walks away in hopes that people don't recognize him from the television and put together that that's him, that he's in their presence. And I really want it to be Yankees cap, but being from Boston and not being very professional as an actor, Ben refused to wear a Yankees cap.
Wow.
And it did not come to blows, but we had to shut down production for 4 days as we negotiated with Patrick Weitzel over what would be the best thing for the movie, what Patrick thought would be the best way to meet the requirements of the production and something that his client could live with, which I thought was entirely unprofessional.
What are you waiting for, honestly? I mean, do you want him to chop me up and feed me to the poor? Is that what you guys want?
Goodbye, sir. So you know what the end result, of course, if you've seen the movie, is he's wearing a Mets hat. As if
that's a compromise.
That's your compromise? Are you kidding me? So Affleck actually said, he said, I'd do anything for you, David, but I will not wear a Yankees hat. And he's a Red Sox fan. I can't wear it because it's going to become a thing. I'll never hear the end of it. I can't do it. And I couldn't put it on my head.
Wow.
He said it was a one-man riot against the Yankees.
You have to appreciate his conviction. The fact
that's what I was going to ask you. Blitzer Prevent. Yeah. Do you respect that he was that much of a fan that he wouldn't do it in a movie?
I respect it.
Or is that unprofessional, like Fincher said?
I respect it. That he's that committed and he don't want to have to hear it and want it to become a meme and somebody said that you wore this here. But man, I mean, him and Mark Wahlberg is the only person that you expect to be able to try and even pull some stuff like that.
Damon.
Damon.
No chance, Damon. You can't get Damon.
And other people seem like they're a little bit more professional about the check that they're getting. that then say, you know what, I don't care, I'll wear, you know, Circus Olay. I don't care what you give me, loans your check clears. But you gotta appreciate, but 4 days to shut down production for four? I mean, they couldn't figure something out and get a new era hat? Like, they couldn't figure it out, like, hey, what the hell was going on that it took 4 days to figure out and be able to come? Did he call his agent? Was it like Tropic Thunder? He's like, what? You don't have your DVD? I'm on the way. Don't do anything. Don't sign anything. But you got to appreciate that Ben goes so hard for his team.
So that's a good fan, you're saying. That's he's not a, like LaGreca would say, you're a fraud. Like, he's not a fraud.
Yeah, but that's fanatic, though. That's like, come on, man.
You're, I mean, you know, a Red Sox fan, it's not a fanatic?
Like, it's like you're an actor, man. Act like you can wear a hat.
He didn't want it to be a picture that people then could use against him.
But it's a movie. It's in context. You're not wearing this out. It ain't like you and Jay-Z switched hats. It ain't like you, Big Poppy. You didn't play for the team. Damn, put the damn hat on. Now here I got to do. I got to wait 3 more weeks for
Gone Girl. Yeah.
He should have put a Mets hat or put a hat on, you know, for whatever. Yeah, that
why is it better to wear a Mets? Like, you're putting on a Mets hat. Who beat you in 86?
But it's disrespectful for him to the Mets. Like, that's another form of disrespect to the Mets.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Right, they beat you.
Affleck, a Red Sox fan. Now, I don't know. Was he even alive in 86? I got to check. But
yeah, he's older than me.
The point is, one of the most embarrassing moments in your franchise's history. And you'll wear that hat, though? That's okay?
Yeah, that's a blatant disrespect.
He's that old? He was 14?
Huh. Yeah, that's disrespect. I tell you what, he should have wore that for whatever.
I didn't realize he and I were almost the same age.
What was that, Justice League? He should have wore for that.
Jumper.
He should have wore for that because that movie sucked. And I'm so happy what was it? It's Marvel and it's DC Comics. I'm so happy they fired him because that was the worst waste of time and waste of a budget. Right, and that was the worst movie ever. And me going to Wild Wild West is the only time that if my kids weren't with me, I'd have walked out. Justice League my ass.
Right,
Garbage League. Letting Ben Affleck write that damn movie.
I mean, I need to know. 800-919-3776. You got Diablo Jersey on Twitter said he's the GOAT for shutting blank down. Red Sox Nation is the hashtag. So that is if you're a fan, you really appreciate that.
Irrational.
You think wearing a Mets hat was better?
Right, still in New York.
The compromise is I'm wearing a blank hat, nothing on it. Like nothing.
Or at least have it black on black so nobody see what it is. You got a tone on tone logo.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, you're a bad dude.
You don't like it. I kinda admit I gotta respect. If I'm in a movie and somebody's like, "We're gonna need you to wear a Celtics jersey," I'm like, "I am. I'm not wearing a damn Celtics jersey. The only green I like is money and Jets."
What about a Jordan jersey? That's like a Pistons fan. Me wearing a Jordan jersey. MJ crosses over. You can hate him, but you still rock his stuff.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay,
right, we'll see what the callers think.
You're a Knicks fan.
Yeah, of course.
You love the Knicks.
Yeah.
You hate the Bulls, especially the Jordan led Bulls.
No, I didn't hate the Bulls.
Okay, you disliked them. You had a disdain for them.
They were. See, to me, that felt a little different. Like the Celtics, you're not supposed to. You hate the Celtics. You don't like the Celtics. There's nothing about the Celtics you can appreciate. Nothing.
Okay, all right. I thought I was going to say Celtics, you spit on the ground.
I thought I was going to wheel you.
If
I wasn't in Anthony's basement, I would spit on the ground right now.
But who's taking more from you? The Bulls in the 90s, that's the reason why you don't have a championship.
But I respect that because he was so freaking good.
And you didn't like Larry Legend?
I like Larry Legend. It's the Celtics. Born that way.
Okay. I thought I could rope you into something. No. I did not. Because I was about to say,
this is Kevin Connolly, a good friend of mine, right? He was in Entourage. He's been in other movies, right? The Notebook, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Connolly is playing a character, and they say, your character's a Rangers fan. You've got to wear Rangers gear. Like, you know, Jerry Ferrara is a huge Ranger fan. He wears all that stuff. Big Giants fan, too, by the way. Right? Like Kevin Connolly would say, I'm not doing the part.
Ooh.
You put Kevin Connolly wearing a Rangers jersey?
Wow.
That poor kid, he would burn wearing that thing. It would hurt him. He'd probably get eczema. Like, I'm serious. Like, that's the reality to it. All right, we're getting calls. 800-993-776 on this. I want to know what people think about this one. All right, last but not least, I want to know your take on this. So Kyle Love, all right? So he's Cam Newton's former team in Carolina. Also played for Bill Belichick in New England.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe that Cam Newton can do well with the Patriots and with Bill Belichick. Here's the quote, and this is from the New York Post. This is just my opinion, but I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking him down about his play. If he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they may have felt he could be a little frail about it or maybe pout. They never really corrected to the point Bill used to correct Tom Brady. Bill's going to be Bill, and he's going to let Cam know how he feels no matter what. Everybody's treated equal, and I actually love that about Bill because that let the whole team know that you're going to be held accountable. Blitzer prevent, though. Kyle Love has a point, and there is real concern about whether or not Cam can flourish in that type of environment.
Cam is locked in. I'm sure Kyle, before this season started, would never think that Cam Newton would take a contract for $1 million with incentives as well, too. Guess what? Things change. He understands the situation in which he's in. He understands he doesn't have the leverage. He doesn't have the leverage to be able to command the respect that he demanded in Carolina. This isn't Riverboat Ryan. This is Bill the Hell Belichick. So you take it with a grain of salt, and the only thing it affects is if Cam stays. But if Cam balls out, he's seeing this as an opportunity to go wherever the hell he want to do, go in the NFL. So he'll take whatever he got to take to get up out of there and be able to reclaim his throne as a top 10, top 5 quarterback when he's healthy and on his game.
We'll see. That's another take by you. We're going to have to hang on to that one.
Yeah, clip that one. Clip that one.
All right, that's Blitzer Prevent. 800-919-3776. People want to sound off about the Yankee thing.
Omaha! Omaha!
So what we're going to do is Audio Files now is out.
Man, that's our highest rated segment, man.
But this is good stuff.
Well,
man,
they better bring the fire.
I just want a fair chance,
getting rid of Audio Files.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. If you're calling,
that's the time when I eat M&Ms and I take the whole damn segment off, and y'all making me have to work the whole 2 hours.
That's a fair point. You better bring it, everybody. That's all I'm saying. You better bring it. We got calls about this, about the Affleck not wanting to wear a Yankees hat.
Like,
do you respect it, or is he, as the director said, was he just being unprofessional? So that's something. Like Frankie on Twitter said that Jack Nicholson wouldn't wear a Red Sox hat in the DePatty.
the what?
The DePatty. DePatty. That was the movie. Like, I love Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
It was almost like he purposely was having the worst Boston accent he could possibly have.
That was his side of
I love Alec Baldwin.
Now that's next level. If he did that on purpose, making fun of Boston people the entire movie.
It's like Rick said, like, because DPH was from Boston and he said, my Boston accent's terrible. It's like that. It's Baldwin's, which I take that as a compliment. 800-919-3776 is the number. As before we get to some Kevin Durant sound, and also before we're done, we got to get into CJ Mosley and Brian Winters and the Jets and what Bart Scott sees and what the Jets are doing right now. But let's grab some calls here on that Ben Affleck thing, because some fans do want to sound off on that. Let's begin with James in Lake Grove. James.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
How we doing?
Good. So I wanted to call in because I respect the heck out of it. True fandom comes from the heart, not the wallet. So him saying, I'm not going to wear a Yankee hat, if it's a movie, if it's a TV show, he doesn't want his friends making fun of him for the rest of his life and having it held over his head. Now, I know it's not the same level of celebrity, but could you imagine what you would have to do to get Dave Rothenberg in an Eagles jersey? This ain't going to happen. No amount of money, no power, nothing. It's true fandom. Respect the heck out of it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, James. Let's take Alvin and Elizabeth. Alvin.
So disrespectful, guys. So that is straight up trying to bully an actor. First of all, Ben Affleck is a no name. He doesn't need to do that to nobody. I respect the heck out of that guy because you don't wear it. You were from Boston. You a Boston fan. You do not wear a Yankee. It's like, yo, Bart, would you wear a Patriots hat? Would you?
I like Mr. Kraft.
If they paid you.
How much cheese on that taco? No, I'm sorry.
Oh, how much cheese on that taco? So, for real, you will literally wear a Patriots hat?
Well, you have to understand. You have to understand. I'm not a fan, though. You have to understand. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you've been an athlete.
I've had to play for different jerseys. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I totally understand.
So, would you wear a Bulls? I know you have a Jordan jersey hung up, but would you wear any Bulls gear?
That's a better question. See, like, I hate the Bulls because I'm a fan. Okay. I'm a Pistons fan. But when you play for whoever, you know, is the right situation to be a free agent.
Yeah, but that's bullying, guys. That's like, if you know that Ben Affleck is a straight up huge Boston fan, you don't make him do that, man. You got to have some respect for the guy, man. Come on.
I like it.
Tell me this: do you respect his Justice League script that he wrote?
No.
He did give you some damn money back. It was horrible.
I want my money back, man.
It was all dark. Like, why is it dark? Like, I'm trying to adjust the brightness on my television. Like, what the hell is going on, man?
And I waited for it to come out like on HBO or something and pay it at home. Oh my God, man! I felt like canceling my subscription and everything. Man.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Appreciate you, Alvin.
Thank you, man.
All right, one more. Let's take
a horrible movie, man.
Kashi in the Cab. Kashi. See, don't turn this though. You're spinning it now.
Nice.
About
how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. That whole stupid thing with Affleck. You know, here's the bottom line. Inside every New England team fan, as a New York team fan, dying to get out. All those Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, they wish they were New York fans. Okay? They're true New York fans trapped over there. Dying to get out. He just didn't want to admit that.
See, to your point, I think that Boston people are posers because they have inferiority complex because they're a smaller version of New York.
I was just going
to
say.
They want to be New York, and they want the attention. They want the credit. They're the little brother that's looking for attention. Like, hey, we got nice stuff, too. No, you don't. Everything you got, New York has better. Downtown, better. Shops, better. Way of living, better. Closer to the better airports, better everything. Only thing they've been doing better than us is winning championships. And damn it, that's about to change.
I was literally going, this is why you and I are like in the same mind. Because I was going to say, one thing that I think about when I think about Boston sports fans is they have the little man disease.
Yes.
You know, the little guy with the big truck.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Like, they feel like it's like they have to be overexcited about their team.
Right.
Like it's overconfident, overexcited. And so when they started winning, man, it was like unbearable.
Yeah.
I love listening to Sports Talk Radio up there, by the way. When I'm up there for hockey with my son, and I listen to, I love their, because it's hysterical.
And they become who they despise, right?
It's 100% true.
If you guys ever watched that show, Ugly Duckling, or whatever, the duck and swan, and they get all that cosmetic surgery.
Swan, yeah.
The people that they were talking about that were, look at these plastic girls, it's only concern. How much did you eat today? They get all this surgery, get their teeth fixed, somebody do their hair, clean them up, get them nice clothes. They become the same arrogant, selfish, self-absorbed jerks that they say that they hate.
All right, let's get on to the 800-993-776. Before we get to the Jet stuff, let's get this. This is Playing for Keeps podcast. Kevin Durant talking about explaining if you haven't heard enough, why did he choose Brooklyn?
I wanted to be around younger players. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be around Caris LeVert, guys who I got to know over the last couple of years. Spencer Dinwiddie, somebody I enjoy, playing against. You know, so everything felt like it aligned when I was thinking about it. And obviously, Kyrie, somebody I admire his game. You know, I wanted to hoop with. So it was just like, who I wanted to hoop with at this point? You know, what's the next experience? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I felt like that would be a good place for me to experience basketball, whatever that brings and everything that comes with me, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like it was a perfect time for me to step into that phase. And, you know, this whole thing has been about that. So, I'm excited about playing in front of that fan base, whenever that is. Hopefully we get back out there.
All right. Let me just a couple of things here. Kyrie Irving's 27, Dinwiddie's 26, and LeVert's 25. He never mentioned Jared Allen's 21. All right. Like,
how about Harrison?
Harris is 28, so he's too old. But like you talk, like
I'm just saying, they don't even recognize him as a player.
Well, he's the ball boy. Like Kurucs is 21. Like you want some young guys on the team. The kid Dante Hall is good. He's 22, right? Like he named guys who were 25 and older. So all right, so younger than the Warriors, right? Is that what we wanted? Younger than the Warriors. All right, so Steph Curry's 31. All right, well that's around your age. All right.
Yeah, Draymond.
Draymond's 29. He's not that much younger. I'm not much older than these guys, right? Klay Thompson, this is not about this is not about him not coming to the Knicks anymore because I'm past that. It's like I'm more annoyed now at what they did to Kenny. And I'm sorry, I'm annoyed. Like, you're also the guy that told me how you went right to YouTube to watch Kenny Atkinson videos and you loved his vibe as a coach. If you loved it so much, they fired him. You hadn't even played for him yet. If you loved it so much, don't you think you should have said something? Don't act like, oh, that's not my decision. You know damn right it is your decision.
Yep.
It's a stars league. We all know it. If you guys wanted him as coach, he'd still be the damn coach.
If he said
so, don't tell me you watch video and it's the vibe and what they had going on there. And don't talk about young players when you're naming guys who are 25 and older. So that's all. That's all I gotta say. You're a great player. You're gonna win next year with them. There's no question in my mind about it. But I just this is the kind of stuff where people look at you side eyed like, what are you talking about?
He's gonna win with who? Because if he's going to get a third person, it's going to cost you a LeVert and a Dinwiddie. What the hell are you talking about? What?
Another star?
Yeah, so what are you talking about? Right? So, like, all these guys, oh, man, I'm so excited to play with them. He's trying to get them out of here in a package deal.
I don't think he's trying to do it, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
Uncle Drew sometimes, trying to do
like,
it.
The idea of talking just to talk to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Like, just don't, like, either say speak
or
the truth.
Or say what you think people want to hear.
Well, just speak the truth.
Just like, yo, I want to come to Brooklyn.
Don't think we're all stupid.
I want to come to Brooklyn. I didn't want to deal with, you know.
I didn't want to deal with that. I wanted to come to New York. Yeah, I wanted to come to New York, but I didn't want to deal with, the garden was a mess. I didn't want to deal with that. Say that.
And this was the next best thing, because I know if me and Kyrie came, we can make them a super team. They're a team that was already going to the playoffs. We can put them over the level. We can get in there, do our thing.
Thank you.
We can be our bona fide, we can be our slash general managers. We can talk to other people around.
So let me ask you this. If and we'll get to the Jets stuff in the next segment, I promise. I want to get your take on the Jets, so we'll be quick here. I mentioned it during Blitz of Prevent. And I'm curious because I didn't see a lot of response, but I did see a lot of response on Twitter when I put out the tweet. And once again, it's you're going to have Kyrie and KD next year in Brooklyn. We don't know who else, but those two guys for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the best the Knicks can do is trade for Chris Paul, who's playing terrific.
You see what he did yesterday?
He's playing terrific. And also sign, you know, Carmelo, because the Blazers are going to have cap issues there. They can't keep everybody.
Right.
So, you know, maybe Melo comes back to New York because he's got the relationship now with everybody here.
Will he come up? And I wanted to comment on your Melo thing before because I think really what Melo did and why he made the adjustment is he finally accepted where he was in his career. Because before, remember in Houston, he was...
Well, he's still starting.
I'm saying, but he didn't want to come off the bench. He said all this stuff. But if he comes here, he still it may be better to have less of him and let him be more effective. If he ever embraces that he's going to be the microwave Vinnie Johnson, that he's going to become like that six man where he comes out, get buckets, he can shoot all the shots he wants, and then they make sure that they keep him in the clutch moment, then he'll be so much better.
I just feel like if that's the best you can do, those two, give me Danilo Gallinari, another former Knick who's a veteran player who can shoot, who I think would want to come back to New York. That, and you're not giving up your young core of Mitchell Robinson, R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
Like, you still keep those pieces, but you add guys like that.
Those two.
And you have a coach like Thibodeau, a coaching staff that's going to have people like Mike Woodson and others on it.
Yeah.
If that's what you have, knowing the Nets are going to have what they've got, those two stars, like, I'm not saying I'm not going to say you're better than the Nets, but at least do you feel a little bit better? Like, all right, well, we're at least in the game here.
Right,
like,
right.
You don't want to be a 20-win team while they're winning 60 with these two guys.
Right. I mean, I think that gets you 40-some games. I think that can get you 40 games.
Professional
wins and guys that know how to play.
Got to look like you.
You have to continue to develop, and guys have to take the next step, like Dinwiddie did, like LeVert did.
Right.
And then that's where you'll be right on par. Then that'll attract some of the other people. Now, do you go big fish hunting and say, you know what?
I don't think you do it here.
A guy like Montrezl Harrell, who's giving 18 points off the bench.
I can't do
and
that.
Let him be a starter.
I can't do that. You have a month this offseason. You have a month.
Yeah.
I think you got to wait till 21.
Somebody's going to pay Montrezl
really
Harrell,
be aggressive.
Though. Somebody's going to pay Montrezl Harrell.
All right.
And he's giving you 18 off the bench.
But I think you got to wait. What you got to do is prove yourself. And if you get a couple of vets, especially a guy like Chris Paul brings you some credibility. Yeah. Obviously, coaching. You know, you have a guy now that every coach in the league respects, so you got some credibility there. If you do that, just get yourself to credibility. That's how far away you are now.
Yes.
You got to get. How about you? Like, everybody wants to talk about playing for a championship. How about you get the respectability? Get to there. Yes. Get some credibility first. Build from there. That's what you got to do. Because this team in Brooklyn, we all, you know, obviously right now, they got young guys. You never heard of any of these guys in this bubble. Doesn't matter. when they are ready come December.
It's go time.
Yeah, that team's going to be something that you got to contend with. And if you're the Knicks, you do not want to be that far away because then it's going to get real embarrassing. Next week, Bart's in on the morning show. All next, you and DiPietro, by the way, that is must listen. I'm really jealous of Fitz. I almost feel like I got to figure out a way, like if I could just...
Don't Nancy Kerrigan?
Yeah. Would that be wrong just to take Fitz out? So if I could host between you two on a morning show, it'd be hysterical.
Just lock him in a truck.
Yeah.
Just lock him in a trunk and we'll make it happen, Captain. At least on just once a week.
See, what you do is you slice him right in the Achilles. Can't have a backswing. Something. Anyways, have a great time on that show. Rothenberg and I have something special for everybody next week. Just keep that. I want to just put that out there.
Nice.
Rothenberg and I are going to do something a little special next week that we think is going to be a lot of fun. So you want to listen. And yes, as you saw, there will be some changes to the schedules. Bart and I no longer 1-3. In a couple of weeks, we'll be moving earlier in the day from 11-1. Little nooner.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You know, so when you
lunchtime,
12 o'clock, where you take that lunch, you come outside and you sit down and you get your popcorn ready and
yep.
Listen to the show.
It's going to be the same stuff, just moving it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? One seg. And, you know, it's all good. So we'll make the best of it as we always do. And we appreciate everybody coming with us and being part of it. So thank you for that. But right now, before we go, we do have to touch on one more time. Oh, I do need to point this out, by the way. I have to before we get to your turn. How about you talk about Alonzo versus Judge earlier in the show? Because this is on course. I want to bring that back real quick. Yeah. And, you know, Alonzo's just struggling at the start. But can I just, for a moment, just enjoy this? Jose Altuve, through 11 games, not good. 146 batting average. His OPS is just like Alonzo. It's like 546.
Ooh.
He's a mess. He has 2 home runs, okay.
Did you?
But he's an absolute, just, he's a mess at the plate. 13 strikeouts. You know, he's just brutal. It sucks when you don't know what's coming.
And that's funny because it's funny you say that because they were live on TV and he struck out and it was like, oh, it's a little harder when this announcer. So they listen. This ain't just like his peers. You know, that's ragging him. This is a dude. They were playing somebody. They're like, yeah, oh, big difference when when you don't know what's coming.
A lot harder. Yeah. Even Bregman is his batting average is .213. Another guy, you know, like he's just, he's got he's got some doubles, though. He's still hitting the ball.
But this is the thing, though, right? And what I say is just like when the people talk about the steroid era, right? Like, are you still a major leaguer? Are you still a good player? Yeah, but this makes you special. Mm. So if you know what makes you elite, you know, same thing can be said about Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Are you these great players without the drugs?
Yeah.
No, you're just a good one.
That's the knock.
So is Altuve a great player without knowing what's coming?
Look, like you said about Alonzo, there's still plenty of season left, but it's just still, I just want to enjoy that moment. All right. On the Jets. So Cimini tweets, Greg Van Roten, who's one of the new offensive linemen, he was asked about whether he's confident NFL players can exercise self-discipline to minimize the COVID-19 risks. There's no bubble, obviously. He said, I am confident. Guys want to get paid, and the way you get paid is being available to play football. Well, that's a strong statement. Now, as we know, C.J. Mosley has opted not to play.
Yeah.
And he has his reasons, and it's understandable.
$15 million.
So, yeah, but he has his reasons. Yeah. And now the Jets, again, without him. That's another season now without him. No, as we know, no Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
But they do move on, as you predicted this, Brian Winters. They let him go. Now he signs with the Bills.
Yeah.
Fine. But what now? Because you told us the Winters thing's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Without Mosley, do they make an aggressive move now for a defensive player that's out there? You've got a couple of them. Logan Ryan, one of them.
Yeah.
We all know the other guy you've talked about a lot.
Yeah, the other guy, nobody really wants the other guy because Seattle Seahawks just said that they're out of the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes, so he may have to lower his asking price, or he may just have to go out and he has to go pitch himself to people now.
Does this move suggest that maybe the Jets might be aggressive in that area?
Well, I think that they said that they're not interested as well, so that means they may have their eyes on somebody that's younger next year. Remember, next year, you're going to have Judon, you're going to have Barrett, and you're going to have Ndakwe. These are all players that may come with a cheaper price tag, but even if the price tag is the same, you know, these are younger players without the health issues from the microfracture surgery with the knee. So these are guys that are, you know, Jadeveon is near the middle of his career, like maybe like 20, he's probably like 28, 29. These guys are 25. So you talk about the prime years. You want that 25, 26, 27 year, you know, of their prime, because you think you're going to get more quality as they continue to grow. But it is an opportunity maybe to play Logan Ryan and give him some money, front load some of his money, and make sure that you can secure a lockdown corner, because you lost Tremaine Johnson. You got Blessing Austin. You got bring in Desir. You brought a lot of talent and a lot of competition in. But if you can get a premium player that's maybe 20, 25, 26 years old, and you can front load that money that you got back from CJ and Brian Winters, I think, you know, you think about initially this year what's going to happen with trying to replace CJ Mosley. I think you move Avery Williamson, who was somebody who you probably would cut.
You were CJ, and that's the other thing. Unfortunately, we've got to run, but that's the other name you brought up.
Yeah, he's probably secure now.
Now all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't have to worry about you know.
He's your Mike linebacker this year. He's your Mike linebacker.
So it's a big year for him.
Yeah, he's a good player.
We got a lot more to do on this, but obviously this is our last for a little bit. Bart, have a great time next week, and I'll see you eventually. But it's good to see you in person.
Ahala.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.